We were born here, so the resources of this place is for those that are born here, which inherit the land, you could say. And so the simple fact that you're born here and you have to earn and pay to live, I mean, we're the only beings or creatures here that have to do that. So this is what I said before, they've made an artificial system that was already set up before you were born here to have these systems of control in place, to make people think that it's normalcy, but it's actually a very sick society.
Just a short break from the program to share with you an amazing peptide to help you lose weight. It's stronger than Ozempic. And why? It's because it not only reduces your appetite, but it also burns fat. These other GLP-1s on the market, they do not burn fat. They just reduce your appetite. This one, retatrutide, is stronger. It's considered a next generation peptide because of that. And man, does this work. I've been using it for 2.5 weeks, and I've already lost 11 pounds. And I cut my dose in half because I was losing weight too quickly. And that kind of freaked me out, to be honest. And so I also am taking this 5-Amino-1-MQ in capsule form. This helps by making sure that you lose fat, not muscle. And so in conjunction, I'm using both of these. This will work whether you have this or not. And I am telling you, it's amazing. If you are interested in getting this, I have the link below, or you can go to sarahwestell.com under shop. You can use the coupon code Sarah to save 10%. If you have questions about your own use, you should either consult your doctor or you can join Dr. Diane's tribe. And I have a link below to that. It is only $1 for the first week. You can ask her any question you want and get all your answers to this, how to take an injectable. And there shouldn't be any fear in doing that. It is easy and straightforward. Go to sarahwestell.com under shop or use the link below. And remember to use coupon code Sarah. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Darius Wright coming back to the program. He's really unique in how he perceives the world, and he has these out of body near death experiences that he has, and he explains it and how he I've put this in context. I've been talking to people who have had near death experiences, and what I found, and I did some research on it, and there was a study where 1,000 people, with 1,000 people that had near-death experiences, and every single one of them came back feeling that they, of complete love, they felt at peace, and every single one of them came back spiritual of some way, not necessarily religious, but spiritual. Even if they were an atheist before that, they became spiritual, and they all talked about how amazing it was, 100%. And I think it's really inspirational. I think it shows that there's so much more to us than what we're experiencing in our flesh, right? And if you're Christian or if you're a religious person, you're taught that, right? You know that, but you're not necessarily taught it in this kind of inspirational way of people who have had these experiences and what they say about our life here and there. And Darius been able to do this, he claims, multiple times, experience what it's like on the other side, and then share it with people. And that he's made it his life mission to explain to people what those experiences are about and what life itself is about. And he's on a mission to help people understand that there's so much more to who we are. And he says it all comes down to love and being your authentic true self. And what does that mean? And he explains that freedom is love. You know, the essence of freedom is love. The essence of control is the opposite. Obviously, if you have a child, you control them in a situation where they might get hurt. That's love. But then the desire to control someone, not from love, but just to control them at your expense, at your desire for your benefit, is the opposite of that. And he explains how he got to this point, all the way back to the time he was 7, and then when he was 13, and then when he was 16, and then he came to this. Whatever your beliefs are, I think this is an inspiring conversation. And it's worth having, it's worth exploring. And I think he hits a nerve with people. Like I've told him in the show, there's a lot of people that follow his work. They like to know more about him and what he's about. I don't know if everything he says is true. I mean, how could I know? And how does, I asked him in during the interview, where does astrology fit in? And where does religion fit in? And where else? And so we have these conversations about all those different topics. I hope you enjoy this conversation. I'm going to have him back. I really like him. And I'm going to be exploring different concepts like this because why not? Why are we limited? Why do people limit you in what you're able to explore? You know, last time I had him on, I had so many negative comments. I mean, they just were mean and nasty. And so I don't think, I think that was, those were bots because it makes no sense as somebody who follows him that you would have this nasty idea. You know, you would want to be nasty and say these mean things. People who follow his work don't want to behave that way. So I think there is a bot army that was following him around because it was the only show I had in months that had negative comments like that, and many of them. So I think it's, so be careful. If you see a whole bunch of negative comments underneath, I turned off the comments when I reposted the show on YouTube because I was so amazed at what was going on. So if you see, and this time I'm going to turn them on again, if you see it just a slew of negative comments, know that it's disconnected to what we're, if we're really talking about love and how you project love and what love is about, and this is all about love, 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 then this is a total disconnect, the negative comments, then that you know there's some kind of bot attack or something going on. It doesn't make sense, right? And I always think that if somebody is trying to tell you they love and care about you, but you need to be inferior and you're equal in the eyes of God, but you need to be in this oppressive role, that's there's something odd about that. You have to question that, right? That's not, this is no, this is wrong. That teaching is wrong. It is so, it's like teaching that, it's like saying that slavery is right. They used to teach that slavery was okay because the Bible said it was okay and that you are still equal in the eyes of God. You're still a member of this family, but you were ordained a slave for the rest of your life. No, that's not how this works, right? The whole point is that we need to live in a way that enables the mo us to flourish and for the people around us to flourish. And that's what love is. You want others to flourish. You're not afraid of somebody being better than you. If you're afraid of your children being better than you, then you're not living in a loving way. If you're so afraid of somebody being better than you that you will destroy them, I think there's healthy competition, right? I want to compete about getting somebody, but if somebody like truly beats me, I'm like, oh, that's great. You did great. But if your goal is to just destroy people so that you can dominate or you can, I don't know, just control the situation, then your path is misguided. So I love this conversation. Hopefully you do too. At least gets you thinking. Even if you don't agree with any of it, then at least it gets you thinking. And if it's something that inspires you and you want to learn more, as he says, go find more of his interviews. That's what he likes to do. And so, and before we get into that, since we are going to be talking about freedom, I want you to think about getting some gold and silver from a company that you can really trust. I work with Miles Franklin. I have been for years. I was the first one to interview Andy, by the way. He wasn't even, he had a person that did all the interviews, not him. And I said, no, I want to interview you. So I had him on my show. Now he's become a famous YouTube person and his company's just absolutely flourishing. He's doing great. But if you want to buy from somebody that you can trust, make sure you use Miles Franklin. You can go to sarahwestall.com/Miles Franklin. You can get a copy of their private price list. They're not scamming people. So many of the companies out there are scamming people. They're scamming people out of their IRAs. And what are they doing? They're charging super high premiums. They're putting your money into a gold IRA and you're losing huge percentages, and I'm talking 50% of your IRA value because they're putting you into metal chart that with super high premiums, and they are charging you fees that you shouldn't be paying. So if you want to work with somebody that you can trust, go to sarahwestall.com/Miles Franklin. It's a great time to preserve your wealth with silver or gold. It is probably the best time in history with, I mean, if you would have done it last year, if you would have had $1 million and you kept it in dollars, it'd be worth 600,000 now. Versus if you had it in gold, it'd be worth 1 point. I think it's went up 60%. Let's say it's gone up 50%. It fluctuates. It'd be worth 1.5 million. So it makes sense to preserve your wealth right now in gold or silver. Okay, sarahwestell.com/milesfranklin. Let's get into this amazing this very interesting conversation I have with Darius right now. It's long, so I'm going to put part of it on my Substack, and you can go to my Substack at sarahwestell.substack.com, and you can sign up for that there. And I will have the rest of the interview here. So it'll be part one here and then part two on my Substack. Okay, let's get into this amazing conversation I have with Darius Wright. Hi, Darius. Welcome back to the program.
Yes, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Well, the first one was pretty incredible and it did really well. I had all these people contacting me. Oh my gosh, sir, can you tell them this? Can you reach out to them? And you have a lot of people that follow you and your work. And I was pretty impressed with how many people actually like follow you around and want to learn from you, which is great. When anybody has a loyal following, you start going, okay, well, what there's it's pretty cool. And they've been following you for years. So getting into that, when did you get started in this near-death experience that you're actually teaching people how to do this? What is your background and how did you get into this?
Yeah, so the background with that's very important to understand is if even from a child, I was doing these things, seeing things, and doing a lot more things in the background than people realize. So it'll make sense when I explain this into then currently. Because if I don't explain that past, then it's sort of like I just fast forward and it doesn't make sense. But from a young child, like 7 years old, I was being shown certain things through keeping abilities active. So whether if that is, I'll give you an example, like intuitive abilities, reading energy, seeing, trying to see beyond the physical light spectrum physically. So that people classify that as seeing auras or whatever, or judging the environment based off what the energy is there. So a lot of people will be present in the environment, but what they say physically, the surface level, isn't actually how they feel. So it's tuning into those things as a young child. I remember even getting with my uncle, for instance, like he would set up a piece of paper on the table, and he would just have it freestanding, like with a paper clip or whatever, and we would just practice, like in front of it with our hands there, our electromagnetic field to try to make it move at some form or fashion, and then pushing it back. So that was the type of stuff that I was doing from a child. So then when you go into 13, 14 years old, I was already studying the whole Federal Reserve banking system, the debt slavery system, how the straw man from like 13, 14. And
Wow.
so I understood how the Federal Reserve and the monetary system was working and the military industrial complex and how that was all influencing and controlling the masses here.
At 13 or 14, was your parents involved too, or was it just you, just kind of on your own knowing?
It's knowing and then also not being shut down. And I won't necessarily go into the personal with that because some you could say on the other side of the family didn't necessarily believe certain things that I was saying. But from 13 to 14, I was studying all these things. And so I realized that the issue was, okay, well, with the Federal Reserve banking system and the Federal Reserve system and all these things, they were trying to access, and you could say they have accessed a version, a distorted version of what they call the zero point, which is infinite supply of energy through the fake currency and commerce, you see. And so then they use the people in that form, their energy through the fake dollar to perpetuate constantly a zero point energy supply for them to do as they will. And so from that age, 15, I was actually pointing this out to my mother. I was like, okay, so you see this, this is how reality is, and et cetera.
Were they normal
And
of human beings? Are they just human beings like us that are doing this, or some are they? Well, maybe IQ can answer that later. Keep going.
I'll get to that later in it. So then we fast forward to 16 years old. And this is when, at that point in my life, knowing what I know and was researching and finding out, and just memories too, I made, you could say, a grand statement. So picture me at 16 at someone at 50 years old, just having enough when they have all this knowledge, and you have these individuals that have been in the freedom fighting movement for years and have gotten to this state.
Yep.
But at 16 I was there, and I said, I want to know what the purpose of this is. So I'm here. What is the purpose of all of this? Like, so I'm learning this information. If I don't understand the purpose for me for being here, then I'm going to leave. And it was an ultimatum. It's show me or else I will figure it out anyways, because if you don't show me, I will take myself out and go back to the other side and figure out all the information that I'm seeking. And it wasn't a, when I made that statement, it wasn't a statement of maybe, sort of, kind of. It was a ultimatum. Tell me or else. And there was no changing my mind at that point. And in that time, I had my first near-death experience, or what I say now is a out-of-body state too, because I was taken outside of what we call the universe, and what people call the universe, which is the construct, and I was able to see how everything worked and operated, and I was being shown these things again. I was being shown how time works, how the infinite creation of constructs and realities and universes are manifested in the purpose of each individual soul. And I was even shown future events, what people would call prophetic visions or prophecies that would come true. And funnily enough, at 16 to where I am now, years and years later, I'm actually in this environment that I'm in. The place that I'm at right now is the same exact place of that which I was shown when I was 16 years old in that vision, with certain people in my life that I had no concept of at the time. I remember even she was showing me the dog that I have now, Lulu. It's a border collie. And I was like, well, why is there an animal here? She was showing me all of these things, like it was like movie trailers, like getting visions and flashes of what is to come. And here I am now, all these years later, and everything that was shown to me has come true.
Can you willingly
And
see the future now?
you can see the future events. Yes, you can. And it's happened to me many times through the out of body state doing this, but it's not. Time, future events are, you have two versions of them. You have fixed events, and then you have potentialities. So let's just say, for instance, a fixed event is every single soul here is going to wake up to the other side and see all things again, whether if that's through dying or through out of body state or what have you, they will eventually access all knowledge and their divinity again. And so potentialities of time is the basically, what decisions do you make that basically lead you to that final destination anyways? You see, so whether if that's going in this path, that path, but you could see these things. I remember many times. I'll give you one example, but going through my process, shutting down my body, and then I'm on the couch because I like to be isolated when I do this, and then I see someone close to me. Basically, as I'm coming out, I see them walk past as if they're physically walking past, and I'm observing this, and then I come back into my body. Let me say, and then I come back into my body, And then when I wake up from that, I actually see, I wake up and I come right back up, I sit up, and then here she is walking exactly how I seen it. So time is not a linear thing. You can access past, present, and potential time. It's very much more not solidified as what we think it is, because right now you could think of going into the past and therefore you're already in the past because it's time is still accessible to you in that way. But when you are accessing more of your energy field, more of the light spectrum, which we could only access 1%, when you access the 100% of it, then you'll see that all of the things that seem like they are airy fairy or mysticism or woo woo is actually quite real. You know, we're
There's a
trying to strive
science
for
behind that.
realness.
There's a science
Yes.
behind that, right? I mean, it's not,
Yes.
and we might not understand it. I have a few people who are pretty advanced that I talk to, and like you, in their endeavors of trying to figure out what reality is. And one of them, very highly respected scientist, which is pretty interesting. But he's very much into understanding what the world is really about. He's very different than most people. And he told me, I just kept nailing him on some things. I don't want to give away who this person is because I don't think he'd want people to know where he's at this way, but at least publicly. But he said to me that once people understand what this world is really about, they truly get to that point of why we're here. He says about half of them decide they don't want to stay here anymore and they just go back. Is that true in your experience? Because going back is so much better. And I don't want to instigate people taking their life. I don't want to talk about it like that. I people who've had near-death experiences, like my sister was talking about it when she was going through this research. She's a doctor, and she was looking at this and 1,000 people study of people that almost died. You know, and they came back, and they all came back with being spiritual of some sort, and it was
Yes.
beautiful and peaceful and loving. And so that's what he was trying to tell me. And not everybody can, like they're not able to either. But can you answer that in a way that's not, I'm not encouraging that in any way, shape, or form, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say two things. One is that you'll find the reason why there's a lot of people that follow that which I'm saying is because the I've actually shown people how to what near death experiences. I've shown people how to access that same state controlled, and you know. I brought this up with you in the other interview that we did, but a classic one is David Ebel. His testimony, I think 82 is David Ebel, and he's had near death experiences. He's died and he's had out of body states. He's confirming those things. So it's you know maybe that's even someone as well to have on. Yeah, I don't know if you want to talk to him or not, but he would be able to even confirm that as well with you. But
Yeah.
the when you access the other side, your true home, yes, you want to stay there because we think that this is a life, and yes, it is life. But the true life is that which you came from before you were born here in limitations to the physical body. So when you're there. You are no longer limited by the physical body, which you could say in quotations, like the physical body is a prison for the soul in a sense, because it gives the illusion of limits when the soul is a unlimited being and it is the infinite. So because the soul's the infinite, it can never be bound or limited unless you believe it to be so. And so when you're there, you taste that. You taste
The freedom.
the joy of I am, which is eternal you, which you could be and do whatever it is that you desire and wish to do based off what you
So what is
will
the
to do.
point? What is the point of being here then? And I know that's what you struggled with when you were,
Absolutely.
why the hell am I here then?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
Can you
so
articulate
all
that, or is it hard to even articulate it for a person who doesn't quite get it?
I don't think Probably it's going to be difficult to understand, but I'll try to articulate it in the way that it was shown to me, how I experienced it. So, going back to 16, when I was shown that this is what I returned to, there was this. When you look back at your life here, it's almost like only seconds has passed. And I knew in that very moment that this is so temporary, and I exist for eternity and forever, and this is what I'm always returning back to, no matter what, that to come back here and show love is the point. And you'll find this a lot in near death, what you brought up too, near death experiences. Why do certain individuals, they like it there and they want to stay there, but why do they choose make the decision to come back? And you'll find all the time it has to do something related to love. I want to love more. I don't want to leave my family, et cetera, et cetera, et
So
cetera.
this is almost a gift. It's a gift to be here because you're given the ability to evolve your frequency or learn something that you couldn't learn in the other in the at home.
Well, yes,
Because otherwise,
it
why
does
would you do
involve
it,
use.
right? I mean, because
Well,
if you got
exactly.
nothing out of it, why bother?
Well, this gives you the experience of what you are not through the physical body, the limitations. So to experience that which you are not gives you a certain perceptional wisdom that would have never been birthed unless it was experienced. So you could say to understand the true fullness of unconditional love, when you experience the unlovable event, you step into the highest form of unconditional love through seeing what love is not. Because if you've never seen what love is not, and you have nothing to compare it to, then you're an all infinite being, knowing being not. If you're an all-knowing being, but you have no experience of what it's like to experience not being an all-knowing being, then you're an all-knowing being not.
Well,
You
that,
see?
so you need to experience, but you also do you need to experience suffering? Do you need to experience ignorance? You need to experience all these things. You're supposed to experience that which you have not experienced before, novelty, if you will.
Well, this. Based off what I was shown, this place that we're in, this universe creation that we're in, is the only one that gives you that form of illusion of separation. Because when you're home, back home on the other side, you're able to manifest places, you could say heavens within heavens, that when you step into these many different creations, you don't forget who you are, and you never lose that separation. For instance, like you know that you are who you are from the beginning, that you're connected to the all of all things, and you know all things, and you're stepping into certain things to experience the infinite. But here gives you the illusion of not being the infinite and finite. You see, so.
Are there other classes like this that we participate in, or is this kind of it?
This is the, like I said, based off what I was shown, based off what I could say. Yes, I know that to be 100% true. Based is yes, this one, this what we're in is the one that gives you that separation of the illusion of separation to the degree that it is here. And within that separation, you have experiences that are unforeseen events too. So, I
Well,
mean,
what?
you we're going into the, I mean, to understand this fully, what I'm saying, it's really taking everything that you think, how people think logically, like pulling that all out and trying to go back to the source of all things, like the highest state, for people that are Christian, God, an all loving, all knowing being, you know. He loves all things, and he gives you that space to be and do whatever it is so that your soul could grow, essentially. And so this is like very, very, you know, a paradox, you could say. It's a paradox because then when you come in here, it's like, okay, well, I'm suffering. Did I agree to suffer? And then, well, there's no such thing as a good or bad thing. It's just an experience, but there is good and bad. And this is where you go into the paradox. And this is where you go into what we're talking about is the highest level of truth. But then as you get that separation, then you have these mind main the mind mental constructs to try to define, well, there's a beginning to my body, so therefore there must be a beginning to my soul, but there was never a beginning to your soul. So you need to step outside of the thinking of the mind and go back into just knowing of the soul. It's a quite yeah, that's all I'll say there, I guess, before.
So let's get back to, I have a bunch of other things I want to talk about, but let's get back to your need to understand the banking and who's behind it and why it's being done. I would imagine many of the people in the system don't even know what they're part of. They're just like nor just people who are having experience. But is there a more of a mastermind, and who are they, just humans, or what are they if they're actually using that system as a source of energy?
So the what I found through all of my experiences, accumulating everything that I know to date, is that the people that are in control are pretty much just like us, people that have fallen out of love. So just understanding that foundation first. Now, these same individuals that have fallen so far out of love, they basically, okay. First you have the soul. So the soul, let's just say, cannot be limited. It's the infinite. Then you have the creation of the physical body, which gives you the illusion of limits, and then you have the spirit, which is memories, and also thought forms can make a negative spirit or what they call demon within you, or thought forms spirits are also forms of thought forms. So I know this is going to sound like I'm going in this direction. How is this going to make sense? But let me just explain it all and then bring it back full circle. Now, when you have, for instance, scientifically proven that we have an electromagnetic field, and they, I believe, and you could probably pull this up, people could pull this up, but they could actually see your instruments to measure thoughts. So you, like, they could actually see it or whatever. So when you think of something, it's still, you're projecting that into the space just outside of your visual light spectrum to perceive it or decode it, but it still is real. Okay. Now, these people that have fallen so far out of love, they become very demon-like, and you could say manifested through their thought forms many bad spirits, which the spirits don't have control over the soul, but it's basically your belief in the very thing itself gives it the very power and control, not the control over you, it's your belief in it. So these people that are controlling the governmental systems, they've put a lot of thought forms into things, making you believe in the very systems themselves to govern you. But when you don't put your belief in the government anymore and you walk away from it into love and truth, then all of a sudden government falls down and it disappears, you know, because all of their systems are based off your will, your belief in it, just like the currency. So, and this is why I said before, they're trying to tap into an artificial form of the zero point through currency, because it's your belief in the currency that gives it value, not because it has any value to begin with. And so this is what they've done from the physical sense to enslave the physical body. You see, they've made people believe through negative spirits, their thought forms, projecting that into this artificial system to extract energy from people. It through their own belief in their belief in the very governance and the system, etc. Just to tap into the artificial zero point, trying to harvest, you could say, your soul's energy, but they can never touch your soul's energy. That's the illusion part right there, because they're trying to grab forms of your memory, your spirit, your will, which if you give that to them, then yes, it becomes a artificial illusion of this perpetual enslavement. Does that make sense? Because that's from the understanding of the soul to the physical of why it's actually being done.
Do they
Is
consciously do
that
that? No, I can understand the concept behind that, but are they consciously building that system, or they built it being unconscious through their greed and
Well,
separation from love?
yes. I mean, even your separation from love, they're still conscious.
But I mean,
So,
but is the system built on that? Are they consciously building something that enslaves people, or do their is there unco they're just not understanding that they're creating this system because they are greedy, or they want power, or they have other motives, and they don't understand what it is that they're part of? Do you know what I'm saying?
yes, and it's both. It actually is both. And the reason being is both is because you have people that are in the know that are addicted to control, and then you also have people that are ignorant to all of these things, but because of their very belief in it, they become the participators in it without them even knowing that they're participating in that very act. So
Yeah.
it is both.
Because I argued
Yeah.
with the high level banker person who used to work with the city of Wall Street, and it was an interesting conversation. And this person was trying to tell me that the people part of the system don't realize they're part of it. The system is to blame. I said, no, there clearly are people that understand systems that are nourishing it, building it, and keeping it going. Because
Yes.
I know I built systems before, and I mean, I don't know about this type of a money system that extracts energy. I don't know if they are consciously aware of that versus they know what system that they're putting in place. They know how it controls people. I just know there are people that are system level thinking that do those things. And she argued with me, and I guess I just didn't believe her, and that's why I'm asking you. But you're even saying beyond the system, you're even saying that they know that it extracts energy. A quick break to share with you this wonderful product called Masterpiece. It is proven to taking out graphene oxide, aluminums, heavy metals, microplastics. They also are looking at these MAC addresses, and there's more and more research, and there's studies coming out. There's four documentaries that are being made on their studies of how they're able to disable MAC addresses that are somehow put into people. This is amazing stuff. I highly recommend. I buy a whole box of it, and I make sure my whole family has it. If you are interested in trying this and really cleaning up your body from microplastics, graphene oxide, you can also test yourself. You can get your hair tested, see what you are before and what you are after you use this for a few months. They stand behind what they're doing with tests, studies, and real results. And look for the link below where you can buy Masterpiece yourself. It'll provide you a discount, or you can go to sarahwestall.com under shop.
Yes, that's what I'm saying as well. Yeah. I mean, the very fact too is that we were born here. So the resources of this place is for those that are born here, which inherit the land, you could say. And so the simple fact that you're born here and you have to earn and pay to live. I mean, we're the only beings or creatures here that have to do that. So this is what I said before. They've made an artificial system that was already set up before you were born here to have these systems of control in place to make people think that it's normalcy, but it's actually a very sick society. So, the simple fact that we have to pay to live that which we were born into, we have the right to this place. Is that form of artificial means of extracting energy through the artificial zero point through currency, commerce, currency, language like that. And that's why language is so important, because they use language also as spell casting too. And this is where you go into black magic and rituals, and this is why even part of a high level of occultish things, and also what do you call that? It's covenants. Freemasonry and stuff, they understand the power of spoken word and in the intention behind that word as well, and what you believe in. And to give you a great example of this is there's been studies done on this too as well to validate that which I'm saying, so it's not just mystical to people. But what you actually believe and what you speak actually dictates the very waters and cells within your physical body. You can even program and restructure water based off your very will and your belief in what you speak to it. This is why the placebo effect is even a placebo effect,
The Emoda
because,
Institute showed that. That was one of the
yes.
groundbreaking work. Yeah.
Yeah. So they understand the black magic type of things, and this is why you even go into the music industry too. This is why they use a lot of spell casting through music. So it's very important. But it's not just the words that are being used, but it's also the intention behind the individual in the if they believe it, that gives it even more power. Because, I could say, for instance, I'll give you an example, and this is not true, but I could say, I hate you. Now, that's a word, but that's actually not how I feel about you. But if I use that word with the intention of how I feel, then therefore it becomes a, you could say, a more potent in its effect towards you,
It's the intent that really matters. The whole karma thing, the idea that people can do whatever they want, and as long as they tell people, then they don't have karma. I'm sure you've heard that. They're afraid of karma. So the occult, there's a religion where they can do whatever they want, and as long as they tell people, then they're not affected by karma. And that gets back into, I call bunk on all of that, because it's the intent. I mean, you can't have the intent of wanting to hurt somebody and just tell them that you're going to hurt them in a cryptic way that's manipulative, and assume that you're not going to deal with the ramifications of whatever it is that you've done, because the intent has always been to deceive and to harm. And so that's the karma you're going to have to deal
100%.
with. Yeah.
Yeah, well, 100%. And I use this as well. You cannot have unconditional love with a judgment. And then some people mistake what I say there with okay, well then you can't point out what is harmful. That's not necessarily true, because there's a difference between judgment and discernment. Yeah. So yes, the all of these individuals are in the know, and it's the intention of that which they do. Not necessarily from the high stated thing they're going to be judged for it in that way, but there are consequences to actions.
There's
Yeah,
karmic
there's a there,
consequences, right?
the, well, just consequences. There's a cause and effect. So right now, if I push this, that's going to move. That's cause and effect. So it's not, you see, it's
Is
not
there a such thing
necessarily
as
like a,
karma? Is that in your world, in your experience, do we experience karma in another life, or is that not really an accurate?
No, it's not accurate. It's not accurate in this way. Karma implies that you've done something, so therefore now you're going to be bound to that very act, and that's judgment, you see. So you cannot have unconditional love with a judgment, and judgment would say this. It would basically say you've done an action, now you are equal to that very action, and you're unworthy of anything else.
Well,
And you have
but
to,
if there isn't karma, I'm going to get creamed for cutting you off, but I need you to clarify this. If there isn't karma, then why does it matter what we do?
Well, this is where I was leading into that. So what happens is this. When so you have love, and then you have evil. Now, where does love stem from? What is the core of love? Where's the frequency of that? And you'll find it always goes back to freedom. And you have all of these different avenues, expressions of freedom. Love is a symptom of freedom. Joy is a symptom of freedom. Fearlessness is a symptom. I think I said that right. Is a symptom
Yeah.
of freedom. Courage is a symptom of freedom. You see, so and that's all like unconditional love stuff. And then you have evil, which is the root of all evil, is also the energy behind that is loss. So, fear comes from loss. The root of fear is loss. And then you have fear, loss, regret, suffering, pain, etc.
But anger
And
isn't,
just
right? Anger's not a symptom of necessarily evil. It could be of, I mean, that's not, but anyways, keep going.
it, yeah. So it's I'll bring this all for full circle again, but anger in the form of the way that it's expressed in its intention. So anger in the form of harming something, absolutely, that's a form of evil. And anger in the form of like you're doing something out of love, and but that wouldn't be anger in the way that you perceive it, because a lot of people have anger now, thinking that that's anger of evil, but it's actually courage. It's a, that, that that that's actually what they're feeling. It's not really anger, it's courage, and they're mistaking. They're mistaking loving acts of anger with actually loving acts of courage to change something. And so this is why the New Age propaganda has really crippled people, because they've put people in a state of love where love is just do nothing and accept all things. And you could say, yes, accept all things, but it's also in a place of doing things in the place what love would do, in protection, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's why
So
I said that.
to,
That's why I wanted to bring that up. Anger isn't what people think it is, but keep going.
yeah. So you when you understand those things that I said, then you understand the very people that do things out of fear, control, etc., then they will experience on the other side loss of judgment of themselves, etc. And so there is a consequence to that, and that consequence is them looking at themselves. And the unforgivable sin is a sin that you cannot forgive yourself for, and the regrettable is the unforgettable on the other side. So you don't forget things that you've done. So you there's no form of judgment from an external source that will ever give them any more hellish experience from the very judgment that they place on themselves and the things they can't forgive themselves for. And this is what is reflected to them when they leave. When they leave this place, it was reflected to me in my past getting my life review. Like, and it's the reason why I'm doing this and sharing all this information is because you will never escape yourself. You're the only one that you can ever escape, and you're always going to face yourself and the things that you've done. But all things are forgiven too. Even the most evil things and all that has ever been done is all forgiven and all loved all the same, but they are the judges of themselves based off what they've done.
And are
So
the
all
harshest
acts,
critic?
yes. And all acts done outside of love, you will experience loss, pain, regret, everything. So, yeah, when you see the bad that's going on, you do things in the act of love and protection, not in a place of sitting back and just allowing. Because I'm pointing things out. This is Federal Reserve banking is enslaving humanity. People will just say, "Oh, well, I do nothing." Well, no, just don't give your will and belief in certain things and start doing things in an act of love to progress humanity forward. Do things all in joy. Keep on focusing on the highest state of joy and fulfillment and what you want to put belief into, because then that will manifest that reality and that paradigm. It's the same reason why they've taken over mainstream media, because they want to dictate people's belief in certain things to manifest a certain paradigm of fear, control, suffering, etc. But if that whole paradigm was flipped into love and joy and etc., then you'll find this place would change overnight.
Yeah, the
But that's a
media really
big,
does.
big,
The
big rant.
narrative,
Yes.
and what you project is really what we are. It creates our reality. Okay, I asked you a question. Do you know who I am and what my soul is on? Do we know each other on the other side? And I'll ask you again, what is the answer to that?
Well, yes. So the when people will ask me certain questions like that, and do I remember you? Yes, I remember your signature. And I remember a lot of other people's signature too, because the thing is, every single soul is always known to all souls. So we all know each other on the other side. And there's in one when you do certain things in the state where you're conscious enough, you could recognize souls, because we all know each other. Everybody knows each other. So I recognize the same divinity in you as I recognize the divinity in myself. So there's a remembrance there, because I see the acts that you do in love as well. So it's an instant remembrance in that way.
Do we have soul groups?
Some come in here with certain groups. Yeah. Yes.
And
So,
does it
yeah.
repeat? Does it repeat like we repeat with the same groups of souls? Or don't you know? I mean, you don't. I
Sometimes,
mean, do you know? Yeah, go ahead.
no. Sometimes because I have experience with this of, for instance, my, I'll just say for the sake of the conversation, lineage. I do have instant I remember that lineage. You could say from certain parts of my family that I've known them forever and that we've done this forever, and that's sort of what. You could say you're alluding to as well, or I was alluding to. Do you remember? Yeah, because some people come in as a clan, as such, or a group, to do certain things, and this is where you get certain waves of people, because everything is people don't necessarily come in here just willy-dilly. Okay, I'm coming into this. There's agreements made. We know each other, and there are some collection of souls that come in here as a group to sort of anchor a certain field of energy, a certain field of the energy. And this is why you'll find that when certain individuals die within that certain clan that they've come in through, you'll find that sometimes you'll get this domino effect of then everybody else leaving this place at the same time, or very similarly. You see,
Because they've
so
accomplished their mission of some sort.
Yes.
Interesting. So, do you remember or think you remember the future of what some of these events that are unfolding? Because it seems like there's tremendous change going on right now. I think there's a lot of pain in people too, which actually pain can be good if it transcends into people evolving and doing something good. It seems like we are at a precipice of major, major change. It's profound. And some of it could just be because we can communicate in much better ways, which is actually instigating a lot of the change as well. But what have you seen the future? Are we going to evolve, or what do you see, or haven't you seen the future?
No, I have seen, like I said, from 16, and it's also been shown to me many times from to this point as well. But from that age, I was shown the freedom of all of humanity again. Everything in this place becomes free, and there's a big celebration. So right now, the only way that I could put a picture in your mind is think of the end of all suffering, of all everything. And true freedom for every single person here. That's what's coming. And what has happened, and the reason why there's this big friction, is because there has been people awake for a very, very long time, for years and years and years, pointing certain things out, and then people have pushed them underneath the rug, or what have you, whistleblowers, etc., etc. But you see, when people are comfortable, sometimes they choose to do nothing. And the comfortability is like a very soothing thing, where they're just like, "Well, I'm not going to do anything because it's not bothering me right now." But a lot of these individuals that have become so comfortable, they say that they want truth of something or answers to something, but they're actually just seeking comfort instead. Not because truth isn't always comforting. Sometimes it could rub you the wrong way, and then because it forces change sometimes too. And because people have placed so much value in money or systems of control, et cetera, when that starts knocking on the door of like, okay, these things are starting to get difficult and they're falling down, then that forces them to see that which it always was forms of enslavement to extract the energy in order trying to extract the energy from you. So that's what people are seeing, because all these systems based off of controlling someone, controlling something, are not acts of love. And those things fall at some point. And that's what I was showing. They fall at some point, because the only thing that arot that comes from this is all systems based on love. There's technology out there through the patent system, that actually could solve a lot of the energy needs of humanity. But you see, if you have a person A, person B, person A has good intentions to bring that energy device forward in love, that changes humanity. versus person B has controlling desires, et cetera, then all that does is it still suppresses humanity and controls them, even though it's free energy. You see? So all of these controlling things, the thing is, we have everything right now in place with the technology that we have, everything. We have everything to make a paradise here. You could say a Garden of Eden here. We have it now. But the only thing that's preventing that is a certain consciousness in individuals that are wanting to bring that forward and control or either love. And that's the only thing that's breaking down at the moment. All these fear control based systems are just falling to replace it with what the other side is. You could say the laws of the other side, which is love. Yes.
There's an argument that if we had all free energy and we didn't have this money system, we didn't have to work to make money, or we didn't have, that society itself wouldn't function, because the need to work is what gives us the people working in the ambulances, the people building things. So if you didn't have a need, then you would have apathy. That is the counter argument to that. What would you
Oh
say to
yes,
that?
yeah, I get that. I mean, there's always going to be some form of value exchange. I understand where that's coming from as well. But the thing is, the value exchange isn't necessarily going to be the way that we have it currently, because the value exchange that we have now is already so controlled. Like this, just every form of it is controlled. But let's just go back to let's just say the do no harm, for instance. So if that was the under base a rule of all things, do no harm, then you'll find that a lot of people would start doing things in life, and it'll actually free more things up. Not only that, is a lot of the things that you talked about too, with like the medical system, there's so much things that we could inherently do now within ourselves that people are so unaware of. You see, the forms of technology are expressions of that, the eternal tech that we have within ourselves. Right now, we have immortal genes within us. Immortal genes. And you could say through the splice, through the DNA modification, through vaccines, et cetera, telomere caps and what have you, they've been able to alter or change it slightly. But we still have genes within us that we are the true eternal tech. Right now, we have a soul within this physical body that has access to the multidimensionality of all of creation. And yet they have secret programs such as Project Looking Glass, which is technology to try to see future events, but we have that technology within us. So even with forms of technology, like I said, if they're brought forward, they should always at some point return back to that which it originally was in the past, where the technology supports the electromagnetic field of the physical body and vice versa to turn these things on within us. Because someone with an illness, for instance, not a doctor, this, et cetera, but someone with an illness with the placebo effect has been proven that they could fix that based off their will and their belief.
So, what is your purpose here?
What I'm doing,
What you're
that's
doing.
it.
And was that what you were driven to figure out? Like, what the hell am I doing here?
Well, yeah, since from 16, like that was
That
the
that's the
point,
crux of
right?
it. Yeah, not just what am I part of, but why am I part of this?
What is the whole point? Like I said, at that point, I was just like, tell me now, or else I will just figure it out. Because again, you have information, but then what's the point of that information?
Do you
You
think
see,
that a lot of people get to
if
that
there's
point? Like,
a
what the
lot of,
hell
yes.
is this? So, mo a lot of the people that you work with have gotten to that point and are like, I just need to know what the hell this is, because this is really getting quite strange.
Yes and no. Some people do come with that, yes. But then some people just come with a genuine desire to gather together and share. So
Which is kind of one and the same in some ways, right? Like you kind of, I mean, maybe not. Maybe not, it's not the same. So do you know what other people's purposes are, or their purpose different from each other? We say people come in groups to raise the energy level or have certain purposes, but do you know when you meet people, do you, when you do your out of body experiences and you go back, do you get an idea of what, like, do you know what my purpose is, or do you know what other people that you meet purposes, or do we all kind of have the same purpose? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's all the same purpose, but it can be disguised in many different things. So it goes back into what, like, you're trying to find the truth of all things. Like, what is that truth? And I always say, love is truth and truth is love. So everybody's purpose and things, even what I was shown, was to do things in love. Pretty much, but not the love that people have been programmed to believe it is, where they do nothing, but to do all things in love. And so you could have, let's just go to the basic things of someone doesn't feel like they have a purpose in life, but then they find that purpose through loving their kids or making a family. You find the core of it, the purpose of their life then becomes the act of love. Sharing information the way that I'm doing it, the mission that I'm trying to do is all acts of love in that sense, to awaken people, because love is also courage in the act to do something in the name of spreading of truth, awakening people. So even your platform right now, what you're doing is an act of love, trying to expose information to people. But then some people may think that that's not love, but you're doing all things in love in that way, because it's a desire, a courage to bring information forth to people. So
Well, the
the
people
core
who
of
are
it
effective,
is, yeah, go ahead.
so the people who don't see kindly on some of the information that I share don't react that great to it. I have some people
Well.
that don't like me that I don't know exactly who they are, but it's clear.
Well, it's because, like I said before, truth is not always comforting. It's not. Truth is not always comforting. And to nail it in the head, when people have near-death experiences and they die and they go over to the other side and they get a life review, they are showing what they've done outside of love and what they've done in love. And when they're shown the things that they've done outside of love, it's very uncomfortable, painful to see that and feel that. So truth is not always comforting, but people are always seeking forms of comfort, and that's not always how truth brings itself to people.
And so the new age wave that you really dislike is this need for constant comfort, even though it's not truth, it's not authentic.
Yes.